specific book. Fuck the Constitution, stick to fuck the rules of them. Warfield, Nelfield, Barnafield and Panafield. Lots of local stories that you may never care.
Hi, I feel like a day. Now it's me, Alan Smith, with a wee supper stories on with today's paper on Wednesday, June the 29th. So front page of the paper today is Sturgeon sets off on a course for Indyref conflict. So Nicola Sturgeon has prepared the ground for confrontations ahead as she announced a legal independence referendum for October 19th next year. Scotland's Lord Advocate, the country's top law officer, will refer the process to the Supreme Court in the face of Westminster opposition to a fresh vote. Boris Johnson has previously ruled out granting a legal agreement, known as a Section 30 order, to allow the poll to take place. Ms Sturgeon has written to the Prime Minister saying she remains willing to negotiate while claiming he was refusing to respect democracy. She said the issue of independence cannot be suppressed. It must be resolved through a process that is above reproach and commands confidence. My determination is to secure a process that allows the people of Scotland to express their views in a legal constitutional referendum. Mr. Johnson said he would study Ms. Sturgeon's plans, but the focus of the country should be on building a stronger economy. So, oh, well, I think it's going to be ongoing as until she gets her why, or the SNP get their why, and then hopefully, if this is another no vote, then that'll be out for 30, 40 years until I won't have to vote in another, and I hope anyway. So, as far as I was led to believe, a generation is about 30 years, so certainly 30 years since the last time. Now, here is the Islanders claiming the worst in the world ferries are forcing locals to pack up. So furious Islanders from the Hebrides to Shetland have claimed locals are packing up and quitting their communities in a brutal verdict on Scotland's utterly chaotic ferry system. Folkvale, Harris, Islay, Orkney, Shetland, Iona and Mull rattled off a long list of complaints at Holyrood, warning the disruption they face really cannot be overestimated. In a hard-hitting reality check for the Scottish Government, Islanders warn tourists are put off by the chaotic situation, businesses are at the point of extinction, and mainland medical appointments are being disrupted. Joe Reid, first chairman of the Mull and Iona Ferry Committee, said disruption was widespread across the islands. He said folk are actually leaving the islands because of the unreliability of the ferry services. Margaret Morrison, first chairwoman of the Harris Transport Forum, said she had never seen such anxiety among the population. And Gary McLean, first vice convener of the Islay Community Council Ferry Committee, raised concerns about the out-of-service MV Hebridean Isles. He says there are 9 whiskey distilleries on the island. It must be just a tip-top place to buy there, no? And he said it is vital that these time-sensitive deliveries arrive on time. So the Transport Scotland Minister spokesman said ministers recognise that having confidence in ferry services fit an impact on his and folks' lives, and they're committed to continuing investment across the ferry services in Scotland. So, well, I think this has been rumbling on for a long, long time, and obviously there's been that big disaster with the new ferries. It was getting bigger, and they're still there 5 years later. I mean, going up Michty, I think you can't even, it was just like a couple of blokes and a buckle of hammers and saws, and I think it would have been ready at this time. But well, anyway, hopefully it won't be too long, and the islands will get a better service than what they're getting just now, because there's no doubt they rely on tourism to get folk out and about, but no, just that, it's for them getting back and forth if they need to come onto the mainland or between the islands for anything. So, except of course if you've been in that place with the 9 distilleries, why would you ever leave? Now here it says, no risk of plague outbreak from new stadium. So warnings that centuries-old plague pits could hinder Aberdeen FC's efforts to build a new beachfront stadium have been branded as without reason whatsoever. The suggestion began as a note printed in the letters page of the Evening Express for former Brigadon councillor Muriel Jaffrey, but a national newspaper branded her an expert, warning that disturbing the graves of hundreds of Black Death victims could allow the disease to resurface in the Granite City. We consulted our own expert, a leading bacteriologist, Professor Hugh Pennington, from Aberdeen University, and he said it's nae infectious, bearing in mind how plague is transmitted. which has been bitten by a flea, which has bitten a rat, which has the plague. Like all these things, there are all sorts of rumours, and one of them is you can catch it by digging up graves. There is zero risk that people do get a little bit excited about it without reason whatsoever. In her letter, the former SNP councillor pondered, "I am wondering if I am the only person in Aberdeen who is extremely worried about the proposal for the relocation of the Dons football stadium. This is a bit of local history we got at school, and we were told the plague can be active for over 500 years. Well, far from being an expert, I would say. It's just like, just a silly gibe. But anyway, hopefully Aberdeen will get a new stadium up and going before too long, and that'll be everything complete. The new team, new manager, new stadium. I can just see the league title coming back to Pittodrie. Great. Come on, Aberdeen. Now, here is the searches on for relatives of print trailblazer. So, the printed word changed the world, bringing books and newspapers into circulation and providing a vehicle for sharing new ideas, as well as science, history and culture. In July, Aberdeen will celebrate the 400th anniversary of the birth of printing in the city, which was spearheaded by Edward Rabban, when he opened the region's first printing press in Castle Street in 1622. Aberdeen University and Robert Gordon University are teaming up with others from across Scotland to mark the milestone anniversary. As part of the celebrations, Professor Peter Reid and Paul Mitchell will explore new insights on Rabban's life at a free seminar called Edward Rabban Up Close. Professor Reid from RGU is also seeking the help of the North East public to try and track down relatives who might have the printer's ink in their blood. He said Rabban was both industrious and ambitious, producing 150 titles in 27 years. He called himself the Laird of Letters. Big he did anything, and was engaged in the political, religious and civic questions of the day. Yet for all that, he is an elusive figure. As part of our 400th anniversary celebrations, we're hoping to track down descendants that might still be biding in North East. Rabban is not a particularly common name, so we are interested in anyone who has it in their ancestry. So Rabban was a well-travelled Englishman who came to Aberdeen at the invitation of Sir Paul Menzies and Bishop Patrick Forbes. It is believed the printer's daughter Elizabeth married Gavin Milne and had four children called Isabel, James, William and Robert. If one of these names appear in your family tree, we'd love to hear from you, Professor Reid added. Jennifer Shaw, the assistant curator of museums and special collections at Aberdeen University, said the innovation of printing enabled folk to share knowledge quicker and more widely, changing the way folk communicated and social relationships. Edward Rabban was fundamental in bringing about these changes in Aberdeen and left a legacy that could be felt for centuries. To find out more, visit rabban400.com. That would be for anybody of that, except obviously for Lomfannan, for the written word who hasn't quite reached yet or certainly understood very well. Now, here's a very strange story with them. Community payback ordered after villagers mooned. So a man who mooned householders through their windows and then made a remark about killing children has been placed under social work supervision. The man was handed a community payback order with 18 months of supervision at Tain Sheriff Court. He had previously pled guilty to a single charge of threatening and abusive behaviour. The court heard how he was spotted outside a house in Loch Inver in Sutherland, which is a lovely place actually, I've been here, on December 18 last year, shouting and swearing before pulling down his trousers and pants, showing his bare backside to those in the house. He then shook his bare backside from side to side, Fiscal Deputy Hilary Mikopoulou said. The 33-year-old swore at a man in the street before shouting at a grandmother who was in her garden with her baby granddaughter. He was then spotted near the village play park, still acting erratically, causing a bystander to pick up a small child and lift him over the fence to keep them out of his way. Bystanders then heard him comment that we or they should kill the kids. Oh my goodness. Police were called and arrested the visibly agitated Manny at his home. Solicitor Rory Gowans said there were concerns over his mental health. Well, you didn't say, but that would cause nobody concern anyway, but I mean, a little place like Loch Inver, it would be probably just horrendous. So hopefully he gets the help that he needs and he can come get himself sorted out and nothing, but he really stopped going about making a complete arse of himself. Sorry. Now, just finish up with sport as normal. In the back page of the paper today is a new stopper, Ruse. Can't wait for number one jersey fight. So, new Aberdeen signing, Kelly Ruse, insists he is up for the battle to be the club's number one keeper next season. Dutch stopper, Ruse has joined the Dons in a two-year deal, having left Derby County. Manager Jim Goodwin signed the 30-year-old in a bid to bring competition to keeper Joe Lewis. So, just goes on to say he's had a, you know, really warm welcome up in Aberdeen. And, you know, he spoke to some ex-Aberdeen players if I were at Derby, and they had nothing but good things to say about Aberdeen. So he just felt he was really wanted up here, and he's going to, you know, get his all to muck a number one jersey his end. So good luck to him, and welcome to Aberdeen, certainly. So it'll be nae long until I think he's getting kicked off, so can hardly wait. No, it seems to be a long time or something fit, but just around the corner. So come on, Aberdeen. Now, that's me done for today. Now, just a wee puckly stories out of today's Press and Journal on Wednesday, June the 29th, 2022. So, a bit overcast, certainly duller and a bit more breezy than it's been this morning, but it's turned out to quite a fine night now. So, it's, you know, stinging on. It's certainly been a lot more pleasant later in the afternoon than it was in the most of the morning. So, here's hoping it keeps going for the end of the week, but I think it's maybe going to be a bit of downhill for a wee couple of days. Well, anyway, thank you very much for listening to this podcast. I hope you enjoyed it. And if you think of anybody of VAR that you think might like to listen to it, you know, please let them know about the Doric Express. If they can find it, how to subscribe. And, you know, if they have 10, 15 minutes every day just to sit down, relax, a cup of tea and a fine piece and listen to Doric Express, I'm sure their lives will be so much better. So, in the meantime, thanks very much. Cheers now. Toodaloo.
Fuck the Constitution, speak the fuck the rules again. Wrong field, Nell field, man a field and pan a field. Lots of local stories that you've made in a hill.